You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle, follow your Crave.
Gary Smith.
Awesome Dawson never gets old,
no,
ever.
Absolutely not.
How does a guy have that voice? Do you attribute it to whiskey, cigarettes, or a combination of the two?
That and spleen removal. I think, okay. And hey, congrats to Dawson on his new album that came out this week. He had a big launch party at the Mint.
Smoking kills.
Yeah, absolutely. The Last Honky Tonk Hero. Go stream it wherever you get music.
I love it. Hey, there's so much to talk about, but I'm going to start with one of my favorites, which is in a story in the ABA Journal this morning. I sent it to you, didn't I, Gary?
I don't know.
Let's see. A lawyer who has been disciplined in Illinois. Maybe you could read these statements. He called, I think he said the judge was a clown. He said opposing counsel, it was obviously, not so obviously, but one of the reasons I stay away assiduously from family law is it's where people get kind of the most heated up. And he was in a family law matter, and I think representing himself pro per pro se, and apparently characterized his opposing counsel as bottom feeder.
And then the judge is a clown.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're apparently going to, they brought charges against him. And I think his defense is that it's truth. What he said was true. That they are bottom feeder, child abusing manipulators or something along those lines. So we'll be following that story because it gives me, it's something I think is particularly appropriate in this day and age of name calling and vitriol and on the outside of the courtroom. And it's now seeped under the inside of the courtroom. Anyway, Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes, just when we were getting started having the opening statements and the first witness, boom, one of the jurors was exposed to COVID. So they pressed pause there, which is part of this fits and starts, I think, of what we're going to see as we go back to trying to do courtrooms live and trials live.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it doesn't seem like we can get through anything. It's, you know, obviously very different, but it'll be interesting to see if we can get through any portion of the NFL season without, you know, just half the roster being obliterated. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is just what we're going to be dealing with for a couple of years here.
Well, in the, and now you're going to have the, as everybody I'm sure knows, you have a vaccine mandate that was issued yesterday, which is, acted like a hot poker to some people, which is, you know, just unbelievable to me. But I would love to, you know, there's one of the interesting things are that the people on the left have been tweeting about, I don't know if you've noticed this, Gary, you have been educated on this. They're taking a quote from Jacobson, which is a 1905 case, mm-hmm. and they're taking out one of the issues. You and I have been talking about Jacobson for a year and a half. And in fact, we're in front of the U.S. Supreme Court right now saying that Jacobson predates the strict scrutiny rules or the rules or levels of scrutiny, interestingly, seeing whether they'll take that case. And for anybody who's listened to Reasonable Doubt, we've been talking about Jacobson since November of last year because we talked about the Justice Gorsuch first being kind of the outlier on Jacobson and then garnering four or five of the other justices on various opinions to basically say the towering presence, it's inexplicable to him, the towering presence of Jacobson. Jacobson as an underpinning for all of these things, I understand. What I don't understand is this idea that Jacobson, which was before the levels of scrutiny, is now being put up there as if it had survived strict scrutiny. One of the issues that needs to be addressed with is, can you do mandates or can you do edicts from the executive branch if you don't have any data or science to back it up? Do you have to have some kind of scrutiny? Because the rational basis is basically no scrutiny at all. Strict scrutiny or intermediate would at least be, you've got to show data, you've got to go through, you got to support what it is you're saying. And so it'll be interesting to see whether somebody else comes in with another case to also kind of bolster our argument that Jacobson needs to be evaluated in a modern era, since it's now, 116 years old.
And do you think,
by the way, Jacobson, also the part of the case that isn't being cited is that the penalty for not doing it was a couple of dollar fine. Well, the penalty now is you lose your job. So at a certain point, if you're going to lose your job, is the Supreme Court going to say that's fine because a rational basis means you don't have to have any data, you don't have to have any science, you can just do it?
I've also seen some news pundits complaining or pointing out, rather, that the federal edict for what a small business is something like 1,500 employees or something like that. And this edict came out with 100 employees, which is sort of out of nowhere, at least according to some of the people I've heard. And I have no idea what their bent is.
The thinking apparently is that they were casting a wide enough net to get what they think is 80% vaccination rate. And by cutting it at 100, at least this is what's been articulated, cutting it at 100 employees or over would get you that 80% number.
But do you believe that choosing an employee count that is somewhat arbitrary and based on a hope of mass vaccination is something that would hold up if it was put before the court?
I think that the more fundamental question is the court going to say that we can do a vaccine mandate where somebody loses their livelihood based on a case that said you have to do vaccination? Jacobson was also an inoculation or vaccination case, but the penalty there was relatively light. And that's going to be the determination, I think, that is going to have to be made at some point.
And I've
then
seen...
Let's
go.
We don't have too much time, so I wanted to move to Murdaugh.
Yeah, absolutely. It's God, that case, just every morning I wake up and check my news sources for that one, and I'm delighted by, there's always something breaking there. And
next week, go on.
I was going to say next week we're hoping to get an expert on the case, someone who's been reporting on it from the very beginning back in 2019 and been covering it very carefully. So that's all I'm going to say for now until we get it all locked in, but hopefully an interesting guest next week.
So why don't you bring listeners up to the latest, which is for those who might remember and who are close to the case, there was first a report that he was shot at and airlifted out with a head wound, mm-hmm. a through and through head wound.
Entry, right? And exit wound.
Yeah. So entry and exit generally is not a graze.
No, and when it's entry and exit through to the head, it's generally fatal.
Correct. Right. So the latest is, Gary, go on with the report.
You can't keep up with it. Now it's coming out. So then it changed from clear entry and exit, and he was airlifted to a hospital in Charleston to, well, it was a graze. And although we reported that it was Charleston, he actually went to a different hospital. And now it's no apparent injury, and he was airlifted 45 minutes after he called police, but before police arrived. It's absolutely bizarre. I mean, his lawyer is claiming he went to a hospital in a different city that he went to. The cops are privately saying off the record, you know, this is all fishy. Then other cops are saying, no, everything's cool, and basically acting as a human shield for this family. I mean, the cops are absolute clowns in this story.
Yeah, they have not looked good. And for those of us who are in the system and encounter reports that never quite make sense on a regular basis, and testimony that doesn't jibe with the reports, and kind of an ever-changing landscape when you take a look at the law enforcement, it's cases like this where there's some scrutiny and where there's some attention that really showcase kind of just how the thin blue line.
Absolutely. And it's just, you know, obviously this family, it's not the biggest shock, because this family has a generations old power hold in this part of the country. So, you know, okay, I guess there's going to be relationships between high profile, you know, legal professionals and the law enforcement community. But it's just, you know, you got to think at some point, if you're one of these local law enforcement officials, especially one of the higher ranking ones, you know, it was one thing when Reasonable Doubt was talking about it on their podcast with, you know, the angry comedian from The Man Show and the angry guy who represents deplorables. But now it's on Fox News, it's on CNN, it's on MSNBC, and they're still behaving as though this is just Low County, South Carolina, and they can do whatever the hell they want. No one's going to see it. It's befuddling to me, but I'm having a hell of a time following it. I'm really enjoying this.
Well, if you've got a couple of the pages of the police report, I think they release some. We should post it with the video on Reasonable Doubt's website, because you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to pull it up here, but I'm not going to be able to do it in time. All right, we will get those up one way or another. Mark, I know you have a tight schedule, so I'm going to let you go. And we will be back on Tuesday with a new Best 15 Minutes or So in the Universe, and maybe a special guest at some point that week. We'll see.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Mark. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.